Well, Louise Graham. This is for Louise Graham on Friday, the 12th of September, 69. This is the beginning of the tape for Louise Graham on Friday, the 12th of September, 69. I'm setting this up for Mr. Eastman. I'm setting this up for Mr. Eastman on Saturday, the 24th of January, 1970. And this is that little black tape. It'll last forever. This little half-mil tape. It'll last forever. And I'm setting it up for Mr. Eastman. I'm setting it up for Mr. Eastman for Saturday, the 24th of January, 1970.
People would start reading that and they'd wonder where in the devil they was going to build their apartments, don't you know? See, and then finish wind it up that it was for the Martins. Instead of that, they go and start it right off.
Yeah.
Just give the whole point away.
It did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I sent in two or three pieces like that and see that.
Mr. Eastman, you let me check it before you send it. You tell me what you're going to do, and I can make a notation there where they get it straight.
Yeah.
Because that's my business.
Yeah.
Hell, they don't pay attention to what people send in down there. They just,
They just write it just to suit themselves.
And they don't care what it says.
No.
Just so it fills, fills up a little print.
Every once in a while, you read an article, and somebody writes in and gives them the very devil for, altering their piece, you know, and rewriting it.
Yeah. How much trouble is it to make that little Martin house?
By God, you know, it's a lot of work on one of them things.
You didn't know he had one of them.
No, I want to see it someday.
Well, you come down.
I tell you what, I'll come down there and help you take it down.
I got to take it down and clean it.
Yeah.
Because the darn sparrows have been getting into it, see, and it's getting pretty near time for the Martins to come back. See, they come back about the middle of February.
Is that early? Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know that. I'll go down there. I'll be down there sometime and I'll have to take it down. Hi.
Let me get for you some more. No.
Can you take it?
Oh, yeah, sure. I'm in. See, I got them car frames stuck in the cement. See, so that 2-inch pipe just comes in between. There's two bolts, one down at the bottom and one up here.
Yeah.
When you take this one out up at the top, you know, and you just let it right over. The rest, you could take out either one of them. Don't make any difference which one.
Yeah.
That's the way we put it up.
Oh.
See, I had it.
Oh, I see.
I had it put together.
Oh, I see. That'll hold it at the bottom where you don't have to sit to stand there and put your foot on it.
Yeah. I took and I had it put together and set on some sawhorses over on the side, see.
Uh-huh.
Well, then I got three fellows there and we just took and hoisted her right up. Well, then after we got it up, well, they steadied it up there and I poked the bolt in there. You know what it costs to make one of them darn things?
Well, you got that big 2-inch pipe. That's costly.
That 2-inch pipe cost $10.
Yeah.
And the cap that screws in the top was $1. You know, that floor flange? I've sold lots of them for 25 cents.
Yeah.
They took me $1 for that thing. Time I got all done, I built three of them. You know, I thought they could take and, you know, just take and saw them right out and grind straight through them and then get them all cut and then take and nail them together.
Mm-hmm.
Thought maybe could do it a lot cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
By gee, do you know, it cost me about $50 to make one of them bird houses?
No, I wouldn't.
Well, but geez, it does.
Oh, that's, you mean counting the pipe and everything?
No, that's besides the pipe.
Well, how do you figure that? No, I couldn't conceive of it costing that.
Huh? Well, gee, there's 2 sheets of plywood, 1/4-inch plywood in it. And then the other stuff, and you take your 1x6 in there, and you got to cut all your partitions. And everything. I know I kept track of every time, every minute that I put in on it.
Oh, you count your time?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I made three of them.
Yeah.
And Bill Gloss took two. He thought he had one of them sold for $75, but they kind of backed out on it there, so Bill kept both of them.
Well, I figured you'd probably be worth about $10.
I wish they could make them for that.
Yeah. Well, that,
there's a lot of work to them.
Yeah. Do the Martins all have their own separate room?
Oh, sure. Yes, sir.
You mean?
There's one pair in each one.
They don't do like people, 2 or 3 sleep in the bed.
No. No, there's just a pair in each one.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, how many pairs have you got room for?
Well, there's 18 apartments. My brother-in-law's got one over there with 14 apartments in it. And
Mamu's missing this face. She doesn't know anything about Martin houses. He's out there just frisking around. Tell her to come on in and sit down.
No, because she never heard him. She just thought you about $5 a little.
No. I always wanted one. You know how you do. You see people have them and you say, well, I sure would love to have one of them.
Well, you can send away and get them made out of aluminum, but gee, if you get one that's got very many apartments in it, it costs you $50-$60. Made out of aluminum.
Boy. Right over here, Mother.
Just anyway, it don't matter. Just sit where you want to, man. Or come over on this side, where we all talk.
You take...
Never. I down Mr. Eastman yesterday.
You got a piece of paper there. I'll kind of draw you a little diagram of the way that thing is made.
Well, I got plenty of paper.
It's just a little hand. happened.
Yeah.
Now you see. You see, you got your bottom up here, you see. Now that there's... That's about 3 feet square.
Oh, is it that big?
Well, it's bigger than what it looks.
Is it that big?
Yes.
Why, heck, probably as big as this table.
Yeah, it is just about that size.
Yeah, at the end of the table.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. You see, well then you see this, huh? This comes in here like this.
Yeah.
In here like this, and like that there. And across here. And then you see there's one comes here.
Yeah.
Like that. And another one here. Another one here, and another one here, and another one there. And one there. Well, then this middle right here is open for ventilation.
Oh.
See?
Oh.
They have to have ventilation up through there, see? Well, then you see that there'd be a hole there.
Yeah, one of them got a hole.
Yeah. And one there. Well, then there's one. Yeah, 1, 2, 3 on this side. And then there's just the one in here, you see, like that. Well, then the next one up above that, it turns the other way around, so that there'd be one hole in the middle here, and then there'd be three on the sides up there.
No, I don't see that.
Huh?
I don't see that. You mean you don't have holes right over each other?
No. You see, then there's a floor. It comes right straight through and under that. See, there's three floors in there.
A three-story.
See, yeah, and they're made in sections so they come apart. See, so you take the top off, and the top up there is made so that your roof is kind of on a like that.
Yeah.
See?
Sort of steep roof.
Yeah.
Steep roof.
Comes right around there like that. Well, then this here has got scallops in the bottom of it like that. Comes up here, and that comes up here about like that. See, well, then I got this peak on here, this steeple on here.
You got a steeple on there, yeah.
You'd be surprised to watch the birds try to light right on that point up there, you know. Boy, that's sharp. Then they'll get down part way and grab on the side of it.
Yeah. They don't need a steeple, they need a bar.
Yeah. There's three floors to it. It comes right...
Now, I don't quite see how you stagger the holes, the doors, Mr. Eastman.
Well, the next floor up above there, you see where this has got one here.
Yeah.
This would have three holes here, see, and then only just the one on this side.
Oh. No, I don't see.
See, this would be just the same as this over here for your second one over here. It would be like this here. And,
you'd have it down here and down here.
Yeah.
Oh, but you still have one.
There's still one there.
Yeah. I see.
You see, and this one over here would have three on this side here. You see, you've got to have it. You can't get away from that, you see.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine. Where somebody can build one.
Now, what was that piece? Do you still have that piece you sent to the paper?
Yeah.
I'd love to see that.
I'll try and look it up.
Now, what was it you... What was it you had?
I missed that.
I did. I kind of missed it myself.
What?
Let's say that again about that piece.
What you wrote?
That Bill Gloss, a developer, and Art Eastman, is contracted, and they're building two 18-room apartments up in Orange Lake, see, and I went on about the apartments, one thing and another, and then I ended up that was for the Martins, that they're waiting mosquitoes every day. Well, they done that the paper, they started it right off, Orange Lake to have Martin houses. See, well, that kind of ruined the whole thing. See, the way I wrote it, I wanted the people to read it, and they'd be wondering where in the heck they was going to build them apartments up there. See? I said that there was a low-rent apartment, see?
Yeah.
What the Martins were.
Yeah, and they turned around and spoiled it.
That's what newspapers are good for.
Yeah.
Well, but they did put it in.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Yeah.
I imagine people thought that they were going, ooh, yeah, apartments up there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
What does Joe Odom do? He got them nuts. He got a sack of nuts there.
Well, he just feeds the squirrels there.
Yeah. Now, it must have been a dozen out there on that
yeah.
tree.
Yeah.
They hang around his place?
Yeah, they hang around there. Oh, you feed them, and boy, now they'll come. I had them down home, and I'd take pecans and set right down in the hole, and they'd come right up and take it right out of your fingers.
Yeah.
And there was two of them that was extra tame, you know. A lot of them would grab the nuts, you know, and then they'd run. But them other two would just sit right there and eat it, and when they got that up, they'd turn right around and want another one, see?
Yeah.
Well, gee, I was feeding one there one day, and all at once that squirrel went right through between my feet. There, and Opal's cat jumped and hit me right here. Well, you see, I had my mind on the squirrel, and I was watching the squirrel. But God, the squirrel, see that cat? Yeah, that cat would have had that squirrel right there, see? And the cat wasn't paying any attention to me, you know, and when she jumped for that squirrel and missed, she just took me right in the side here. Well, boy, I'm telling you, I hit that cat.
He was telling us about the cost of these houses.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe
it. Yeah, $50.
Boy, it costs a lot of money to make one of them things there. Because you see here, you got to cut these all here and fit them all in your sides. And they're cut on a slant, see? They're on a slant.
What?
Sure. To go up there, so because and your bottom there slants up so that it catches on the top here, so that this comes down a good deal like that, not quite so much as that, see, but if this comes down here like that, then this other one is in here like this, see. Well, you see, these are cut on a slant and the other's on a slant. And that's on the slant there, because you see, as this comes down here, you see, you'd have three in here, and well, then you wouldn't have only one here, and then you'd have the one up in the top on each end.
Mm-hmm.
See, so you've got there's three, four, and four is eight, 16, and then two up in the top is 18. See, that makes your 18 apartments.
How long you been building Martin Box's houses?
Oh, let's see, I built them 2 years ago. Well, then the year before that, I built one for my brother-in-law. You see, they sent away and got the patterns or the blueprints of these things, you know, and then you had to build them right according to the blueprints.
Yeah.
Do you build them to sell? Do you?
Well, I built three. I sold two of them. One of them I kept.
Well, how'd your brother-in-law get onto it, Mr. Eastman?
Well, they saw one somewhere, and they sent away and got the blueprint of that. Well, I'm Bill Gross. See one somewhere, and he sent and got the blueprint to this one here.
Well, you know the way they sell those little feeding stations, little bitty things,
yeah.
You know. They sell them for high prices,
yeah.
$10-$15 just for little nothing. Well, I worked out this pattern up here. And it's just rough stuff, and it don't cost anything. And it's a whole lot better than most of them. I say I worked it out. Yeah. We worked it out.
Well,
back up the country.
You have got something on the side to keep the stuff from rolling off.
Yeah.
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 There's a little chippy up on there now having a big time.
Yeah.
Well, you know the birds pretty well?
Do I know them?
Uh-huh.
Well, not too good, no. Down one winter, I was staying down there to Orange Lake, down to Opal's there. There was a bunch of little birds come there, and honestly, they're little brown birds, and I bet there were 200-300 of them in the flock. And them little fellas, by gee, they wasn't any bigger than your little finger, like that. And we throwed out some breadcrumbs out there. By golly, you know, they'd stand and peck and peck and peck because they couldn't swallow them because they weren't big enough, you know, see. So I went in and I toasted the bread, you know. And then I took a rolling pin and I rolled it all out and got it good and fine. And I put it out there on the paper and boy, now I'm telling you how they went into that. So every day that's what we do. We take two slices of bread and toast them. And then take a rolling pin and roll it, and you know, to break it all up fine, mm-hmm. and put it out there. And well, that flock of birds come back there for a couple of weeks like that. And all at once, gee, you didn't see another one of them. Now they moved on somewhere, don't you see?
Yeah.
Have you had them again any other time?
Never seen them since.
Uh-huh. So you don't know what kind
they
of birds?
No, they were brown.
Little brown.
Little fellas.
Smaller than these chippies?
Oh, gee, yeah, they weren't just about half as big as that.
Hell, I don't know a bird smaller than that.
By gee, there is.
You get on to a hummingbird.
No,
bumblebee.
These are bigger than the hummingbirds, but they were little fellas. No, they weren't nowhere near as big as that.
And they were brown.
Yeah, they were brown.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that'd been several years ago?
Yeah, that was about... Oh, let me see. About 1958, I guess. Somewhere along about that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they've been, I guess.
But they moved on all at once, and we never see them since. And then up home one year, I was over there to the Jew camp, and on the electric line that I built down to the lake, why, there was probably 100 of them. They're little brown birds like that. Well, it looked just as if they had ears sticking up on them. They had some feathers that stuck right up there just like ears, just like a horned owl.
Well,
and I never see any of them since.
About the size of a sparrow?
Yeah.
Well, that was up north.
Yeah, that was up New York State.
Well, I didn't know the martins came back so early, though.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Do those people down around...
they might not this year. It's been so darn cold.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
That'll hold them off a while.
But you know, there's a place in California, that Capistrano, where the swallows come back to every year.
Mm-hmm.
They claim they come just such a day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just on a certain day, you know.
Yeah.
Well, this has been cold time to come back here.
Does down there at Hoggett's, those people there, do they put out crumbs and things like that?
Not that I know of.
So many of them down there. Now those people like where you was talking about yesterday, that owned that little dog,
Yeah.
Now she'd be there all day with nothing much to do, wouldn't she?
That woman?
Yeah.
Why no, she's a... I think she's a dental technician, works down in Ocala.
Oh, oh.
And she's working down there and earning the money to putting him through the medical school in Gainesville.
Oh.
Of course, I think that they've got plenty of money besides, because her mother was up here, or his mother was up here, when they moved up here. And boy, of all the diamonds that she had on one thing and another, I thought must be they had some money somewhere.
Yeah. But now, he told you, you talked to the boy, or the man.
Yeah.
And he said he'd be here 7 years.
Yeah.
And go to medical school.
Yeah.
And that was his first year.
Yeah, that was last year. See, he's been up there a year.
Takes a long time to get your medicine. Sure it does.
You never see him?
Yeah, he was there yesterday.
What?
Well, he went before you come because he had a class coming up that he'd got to get up to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's that dog, you think?
No, that's...
Oh, that's the next one.
That dog there, I asked about that dog. And they said that was a dog that had just come there. They don't know who it belonged to.
Yeah.
It's just a puppy.
Just a puppy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that seemed like an awful nice dog.
He did. Yeah.
He had that open, clear face.
Yeah. But you know, to get back to birds, if you want to see birds, down to St. Petersburg Beach. If you know where that is. It's right in the Gulf, you know, right beyond St. Petersburg, right straight west of St. Petersburg and down around there. There was an old man lived in a trailer there in the trailer court. And it's a big trailer court because I don't know how many trailers it's in there, but the trailer that this other fellow and I was visiting to, some people owned from Michigan, and they were friends of his, and their number was 2688. And so I don't know, but there was a lot of trailers there besides that, but there was some old man that had lived there in the trailer court, and he had a bunch of parakeets, and he had turned them loose around there, and he spent a lot of money on those parakeets, making a big apartment house for them down in there, and feeders and one thing and another, and he left quite a little money to take care of those parakeets. And they told how many dollars that they spend every day for feed for them parakeets down there, see. Well, now most all of those trailers went and set up a post with a box on it with a hole in it. And you'd be surprised at the parakeets that come and go in them boxes, you know, just like a little birdhouse. And this trailer where we were, they had one sitting just outside, and you could sit inside and watch them. And the little parakeets in there, they come and they peek out that hole, you know, and look around, and back they go. And sometimes one of them would be peeking out there, and the old parakeet would come back. They'd go in a hurry, and the old parakeet would go in there. She had feed for them, you see.
Uh-huh.
And the little fellows were peeking out there to see where their dinner was coming from. Yeah.
Well, I never heard of parakeets just out in the open like that.
Well, they are. You go down there, and geez, there's thousands of them flying around down there.
Mm.
Or there was.
That's been several years?
Yeah, that is, oh, 6-7 years ago that I was in there.
I bet there's still some there.
I bet they are too. Because they kept increasing the beet all down there.
I thought they were house birds.
They are supposed to be. But they claim that those down there couldn't survive without somebody fed them because they can't eat like these other birds do, because they got that crook on their bill.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. Down in South America, South Central America there somewhere, where they're supposed to be wild, I don't know what they would eat on down there, but they must be something. Nature must provide them with something to eat.
Yeah.
You know, I like to just use what's native, and in plants too. You know, people can take a plant that's not don't belong there and put a lot of time on it. I'd rather take one of these plants that belongs here, and just be able to watch it grow. You know, these old blue jays, they're handsome birds.
Yeah, but I don't see any of them around here.
I just have one or two.
Gee, down around our place, you know, the blue jays are in there thicker and fatter.
Oh, you mean down at your house?
Yes.
There's nothing around here to attract them, Mr. Eastman. I noticed that when I first came out here. When I first came out here, there wasn't any birds. Any birds. Then I started feeding, and of course that attracts those blackbirds. But it also attracts the cardinals and some of them. And it's got so now, you see a few birds around here. But nothing like what you'd have down there.
Well, the other day before yesterday, I was up here in McIntosh, and in that little park they got up there, that Van Ness Park where the community house is, I bet you there was from 1,000 to 1,500 robins in there.
Oh. Robins? Well, how about it?
And the other night, I was working up here, and when I went home, there was a bunch of them out here in the lot there.
Yeah.
Oh, well, is this early for the robins? I don't know.
Yeah, but you know, when the robins commence to move north, it generally begins to warm up.
Yeah. I hadn't seen any when we were driving in town.
Yeah.
They've been out for a week or two on the road.
Yeah.
A few.
Yeah, it begins to warm up when the robin's starting on.
Mr. Eason, let me tell you was saying yesterday afternoon, you know, you just got thinking about that 10-acre tract down there that they had got a hold of. Now, how far back do you take that, 1946?
Yeah.
10 acres of it.
Yeah. And you mean there where Harget is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it sold for
$1,500 in 1945. In the fall of 1945, my Jackson sold that for $1,500. See.
Yeah.
Well, then.
Do you know her?
My Jackson.
Yeah.
Sure, she's one of the first. She and her daughter Opal were two of the first women I ever knew in Florida. She's still living, Ma Jackson is. She's 94 or 95 years old.
Yeah. What did they have down there?
Well, they had that trailer court right there where I am. See, they owned that, Opal did.
Oh.
And Ma Jackson, she owned that 10 acres there that she sold to Jim Longfellow. And then she owned over across the road, well, just south of where the Trade Winds is there, where Joe Olson, where that J.O. Cabins are, she owned that in there.
Mm-hmm.
And she sold that acre of land in there to Joe Olson for $75.
Yeah.
And I helped Joe build the first house on it.
Oh, really?
Well, then where the Trade Winds is, somebody had sweet potatoes there, and they didn't dig them all. And they said that if anybody wanted to finish digging them, they could have them. So Harry Kane and I went over, and we dug quite a few sweet potatoes out of there.
Well, now, who got it next?
Well, I think that there was a woman by the name of Benedict. It was Harry Kaner's niece, Harry's sister's daughter, and her man, they lived in Michigan, and her man run off with Harry's wife. See, so Harry turned around and married Opal and come down here to Florida. Of course, they was all from Michigan anyway, the whole bunch of them there. And that's how they come to get down here. Well, then this Frances Benedict, she bought that chunk of land in there, and she bought what was the old post office up at Camp Blanding, and they moved it down there and made a restaurant out of it. And that was a wooden building. Mm-hmm. Well, from 46 to 49, I didn't come down to Florida. In 3 years there.
Well, there's too much going on up there.
Huh?
There was too much going on.
Well, then in those 3 years, you see, she bought that chunk of land and moved that restaurant down there. And she ran it a year. Well, then she sold it to another party, and they run it a year, and then they sold it to Doc Fortner. And when I come down to 49, old Doc Fortner was running it, see? And he run it in 49 and 50. Well, then he took and he give that building to a fella to move it off in there. He give it to old Tom Dubose to move it off in there, and Tom's going to move it over to the lake, see, and make some cabins out of it. That's what his story was. Well, instead of that, he and another fella bought a chunk of land up there where, right across from where that auction place is there, and they moved it up there and still left it as a restaurant, see? So they make two restaurants down there in Orange Lake. Well, this fellow that was putting in the new restaurants up there, he was running a little restaurant in that building just this side of where the auction house is, right in there. He was running a little restaurant in there and doing the devil of a good business, too. And then they were doing a good business down there where the other restaurant was. Well, Doc Fortner, he sold that, or give that away, and then he built that cement block building in there, see? And then he built one set of motels back there first. Well, then they done pretty good on them, so then they built two more rows of them there, see? So they got... I guess there's 18 motel units down there. I don't think they use only 14 of them. And so that's the way that things have grown down there, see? They built that. Well, then Joe built, so he's got six cabins to rent down there.
Joe Odom?
Olson.
Olson, yeah.
Just this side of Joe Odom up there, see?
Yeah. J.O. place.
Yeah. When I first knew Orange Lake, golly, there wasn't nothing down through there on that side. Mm-hmm. Nothing down through there. To get clear down to where that junkyard is down there, there was an old house set back in there that's burned up.
Well, how'd you happen to stop there in the first place, Mr.
Well, sir, I was going down to Lakeland to build a house for a fellow from up home. And we come along down there at Orange Lake, and it was just about night. And I stopped, I was drawing a house trailer, and I stopped there, pulled off in the road and stopped. And was looking at the road map to see where we was going to stay all night to divide up the distance from there down to Lakeland. And Harry Kaner pulled up beside of me and he says, "Are you lost?" "No," I says, "I ain't lost. I know where I'm going. I know where I'm at." And I said, "We're just looking to see where we're going to stay all night." "Well, God," he said, "drive in. We'll keep you." And I looked up, and right straight in front of us, just a little ways there was a sign. Said the tourist court in there, see? And I didn't see that when I stopped. So we drove in there, and they wanted to know what we was doing in Florida, and I told them I was going down to Lakeland to build a house down there. Well, they had some lumber piled up, and they wanted to get a cabin built up there to rent. Well, I said, I promised this fellow to come down to Lakeland. I said, "We'll go down and see, and if there's anything turns up down there that we don't build it, why then I'll come back and build this up here." Well, that was the 13th of December. 1945 that we first hit in there. So we stayed all night, and seems though we stayed a couple of days before we went on down to Lakeland. Went on down to Lakeland down there, and they couldn't get a clear title to the land there in Lakeland, and he knew about some over in St. Petersburg, so we went over to see about that. And we went to the courthouse over there, and you couldn't... That land had been rezoned since the fellow that had bought it and still owned it, since he had it, and they had three lots there, and this fellow that I was going to build for, he wanted to build him a home on one lot, and then on the other two lots, he wanted to build two or three cabins on each one of them to rent, see? Well, gee, they'd rezoned it there, and one lot got to have a public store on it, and one of them a garage, and the other some fancy apartment building, you know. Well, I said to this fellow from up home, I said, gee, we might just well forget about if that's what they're going to make them build on there. Well, you might just well forget that you know anything about this land. And and he says, well, he says, I'll tell you, he says they're building some apartments out here towards Pinellas. He says, I want you to go out with me and look at some of them. And they went out there and looked at them. And the fella had there was three apartments in each building out there. See, and he had, I don't know, three or four of them that he was just finishing up. They were just varnishing the floors and finishing them up in there. And they did look pretty nice in there. They had them all painted up and one thing and another. Well, I says to him, you don't mind if I look underneath, do you? He said, no. So I crawled underneath and looked around under there, you know, and Jesus, I see where it's all built in sections and put together. Bolted together in sections. Well, I knew right off what they was. So I come back out under there and I says to him, I said, well, what's the idea of building them in sections and bolting them together like that? Oh, well, now he said, that tells you. And he was Jew, you know, and he committed them in his hand. He says, the devil was army barracks. He says, we moved in here. He says, and bolted them together. But he said, look at the inside. See how nice we finished them off. He said, oh, he said, them are nice. He says, and the people, that's what they look at. He said, they don't look underneath.
Oh, well, that's where that happened down there at Tampa.
Yeah, Pinellas. Well, as you're going into Tampa there, from the north there, or into St. Petersburg,
yeah.
Pinellas is off to the west there, see, the Pinellas and Pinellas Park in there.
Yeah.
And gee, where at that time, when they were building them in there, you know, it was all, these little pine trees, what do they call them? Oh, there's a name for them little pines. Not pines, but palms, some little palms. What do they call them?
Oh, I know, yeah.
You know, geez, yeah. Full of them there, you know.
I
got an idea, there's full of snakes out in there, too. I didn't want to walk out in there at all.
Yeah.
But you go down there now, and it's all built up in there. I was down there three years ago, I guess it was, and I tried to find them buildings, and I couldn't find them, and I knew what street they was on, too, but it's all built up in there, so, you know, and the chances are they'd build onto them, you know, or put enclosed porches or something on, and you just couldn't tell them. I know my sister was staying one winter down in down just this side of Orlando. And I can't think of the name of the place now either. But anyway, we were down there. I was down there to see her. And they had this big screened-in porch on the front. One thing and another. They'd run along a month, and I went down to see her again, and I couldn't find the place, see? I looked for that big screened-in porch, and I couldn't find it. Finally, I checked the number, and well, this number had a big glassed-in porch and everything on it, and I stopped. And I was in the right place, but gee, you know, they'd enclosed it all. See, it makes things look so much different.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Eastman, let me tell you. I want you to tell Mama about that the auction that night when she was down there with that little girl with a miniskirt.
Yeah, she sat there beside her. She couldn't help it. Notice what nice, pretty legs that she had as she was showing.
She's a fine little girl, though.
Yeah.
I talked about that miniskirt too.
I talked about it. Yes, I did. Well, I'll tell you. But she's a real nice little girl.
And I heard it. What? I forget. You had a story about that, and I can't forget how it went.
I don't know now how it went.
I can't remember it.
But I looked over, and I see her over there, and I said, gee, that looks like Mrs. Miles' mother. But gee, where's Faye? And I couldn't find her. I looked all around. I couldn't find her. I looked over again in a few minutes, and there's still this young girl over there, you know, and the fellow. She seen me looking at her, and golly, she smiled, and all the nicest smile that ever was, you know. And there was them bare legs looking you in the face.
I told her that I thought that was Mr. Eastman.
Well, she came over and spoke to you, didn't she?
No.
Yeah, no.
No. I remember.
She did,
Well, now, what was that little song that you...
When I was a young lad, you know, the women wore the hobble skirts. You remember them?
Yeah.
Well, they had a song about that time. Come all your rummies if you're wanting to flirt. Here comes a girl with a hobble skirt. You can love her, you can squeeze her all you please, but you can't get that hobble skirt above her knees.
Excuse, I never heard that.
Well, you know, they took them hobble skirts and they just took and cut them right half in two, see? The one they used right side up and the other they turned bottom side up and used it.
That's right.
Well, I wish they didn't have them, but I can't control it.
Well, now, you know, the miniskirts are going out of style and the women's dresses are coming right down to the...
Yeah,
shoe-tops.
I don't believe they'll ever let them come do that, though.
Well, the French are coming out with it, and boy, I'm telling you, another year they'll be here with it.
Yeah. Sure. Well, that little girl was wanting a little vase that was up there, but it was sold before we even knew it was being put up.
Yeah.
We couldn't see back where we were.
Yeah.
Well, what did she want with the vase, ma'am?
Well, it was a little antique vase that was up on it, and she just wanted to get... She saw it before we sat down.
Well, there was a crowd there that night.
There really was a crowd. He told them, boy said, told the mayor that he was going to have antiques tonight, but I don't know.
They had seats. For 120.
Oh, they're standing.
And I bet you there was close to 100 standing up.
They're really with the crowd.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think it'd hold that many.
They was packed in there just like sardines.
I didn't think they had much to sell that night, did you? Well, looked like they were selling so much junk a little at first. I don't know. We didn't stay too late. We didn't stay very long. After she said that the chest was sold and that vase was sold. So we didn't stay.
You didn't stay and see them sell the bedroom suits?
No, I didn't do that. They sold the old big table.
That was something, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, who could use a great big table like that?
Well, it's over to Williston and the antique shop. They're telling me right now, you know, that's what Oldham told us last night.
That it's over there.
Well, what was he doing over there?
Oldham? Why, he travels all around buying and selling antiques.
Oh, he does?
Sure.
Well, is that what he's got in that back room there?
Sure.
Why, he's got things stacked up there, Mr. Eastman.
Yes. He's got a lot of antiques back in there that's worth a lot of money.
Mm.
Sure he has.
Well, why didn't you tell me that? I just thought he had, you know, people accumulate, and he said, you know, he told the fella that he'd buy it if he'd find him a place over there, that little room over his house to store it. Don't you remember?
Well, you know what I told him? I'd build him on one.
Yeah. Why, it's, some of that looks nice in there, Mr. Eastman.
Well, he refinishes a lot of it.
Oh, does he?
If they'd have had a little table that night, the girl might have been on it.
Well, would he let us
show anything?
Would he let us see some of this stuff, Mr. Odom? Is it for sale?
I think so.
You mean? You don't know what do you want? Well, now you know he talks sort of scatterbrained, but he's pretty capable fella.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing.
He spent a lot of his life in the army.
Well, that'll make you scatterbrained.
And he was telling me, you know, that this fellow over there at Williston has got, I know he's got a number of them over there, those antique washstands, you know. Some of them, you know, on the back, you know, they just got that piece comes up like that and then around. Ride across in there to hold your towels, one thing, another one.
Yeah.
And he had 25, 35, $40 priced on, you know.
Mm.
And Odom says he's too cheap on them. He says he'd get $50, $60 a piece for them anywhere up there in Kentucky and Tennessee.
Yeah.
He says that up in there they're great on that antique stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what part of it. You come from Kentucky or Tennessee?
I'm Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Tennessee. Knoxville, Tennessee.
Knoxville, Tennessee.
And then I was born in West Tennessee, down in...
Now, there's a sparrow that's not a tippy. No, that's one of those... What is that thing with the heart in front? I forget the name of them. Song sparrow.
Yeah.
That's song sparrow there.
Mm-hmm. He's bigger, you see.
Yeah.
But you see, this Odom come from Bristol, Tennessee. That's way over in the east.
Yeah, close to Virginia on the land.
Well, I thought he come from Kentucky somewhere.
Well,
but he talked about Bristol last
year.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's antique stuff up in there, a lot.
And he was in the florist business.
Yeah.
And he said he worked outside all his life, never got cold up there. But down here in Florida, it froze him to death. like yesterday.
But you know, you drive along up in there, you know, the Kentucky and Tennessee mountains up in there, and see the houses way up on the side hill, you know, and no way to get to them in the world on a walk. I guess probably they used to ride a mule or something up there to get up to them.
Yeah.
Just a little path. It ain't big enough for a wagon or anything to go up there.
No.
Well, Mr. Eastman, I was interested in you, where you was buying that night. You just little hand and go out there, just sit once in a while. Good. And one time that you thought you got something and you didn't.
I did buy that roll of wire there, see?
Was that what that was?
Yeah, and then he carried it right back there to one of his friends, I guess.
We saw you look around, and I said, oh, you didn't get it.
Mr. Eastman, you're not a traitor.
Well, not too much.
But you like to go to auctions.
Yeah, I get a big kick out of them. I had three auctions myself up north, and gee, I got licked on all three of them. You know, somebody else would have an auction up there, and the stuff would bring twice or three times what it did to mine.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, that boy, I felt sorry for him the other night. He had such a bad cold and sore throat.
Yeah.
I don't see how he did it.
But you know that big fellow that auctioned a little while there, was you there when he was auctioning the rugs?
No, we had left.
Well, he pulled in there yesterday, and he had a whole truckload of rugs.
Oh, rugs.
Now, I don't know how many he left there to be sold, anything about it, but golly, he had a whole truckload there. There's a pickup truck with a top on about like mine, and he had the tailgate down because there was a lot of them rugs stuck clear out by the tailgate, see? Oh. So they must have been 12 feet wide.
Well, where do they get those things? Do they just...
Well, they come from Miami down there somewhere. They're probably... He claimed that he stole them. I don't know.
He stole
them? They're probably bankrupt stuff.
Yeah. That's bad, but with big lots like that.
But some of them are seconds. But when they're seconds, he shows them to you.
Yeah.
You know, they'd have a spot in there where they... There'd be a skip.
Uh-huh.
There'd be a skip in there.
Well, he sold an electric stove that night, and he told him that there was one eye. It was good everywhere except one eye. And he said, so he told that. But, he's got the one stove. Not the two.
But some of that old furniture, boy, really brought money. But you know them nice bedroom suits there? One of them sold for $65 and one for
$75.
Mm. And they were
nice ones.
Good, nice stuff. And the week before, I think that the stuff brought more money than it did last Saturday night. Because they had a bed there, and I don't think it was any better than the one that had the bed and the dresser. Went this last Saturday night, and the week before, mm-hmm. they sold just the bed for $70.
Mm-hmm.
That is, the bed springs and mattress, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they...
Where do the people come from there? Are they mostly local? I noticed one woman said she was from DeLand and had...
Well, now, by gee, they come there from all over, you know. Now, wait a minute. What am I going to do with that fellow there?
Well, you came up this morning and then you
were... Well, gee whiz, I
don't... Mr. Eason, I wish you knew old Willie Titty.
Knew what?
I wish you knew old Willie Titty. He lives over past Fairfield, back over there. And he don't come over this way now like he used to. He's working in town, in Gainesville. But he used to be over here all the time. And he'd get to talking. And, he'd talk 5 minutes, a half hour, an hour, you know. But he figured that was his weakness. He loved to talk so well.
Yeah.
And he called it cootering.
Cootering.
Yes, sir. And when it come time to make out his bill, he would put it down there. He would deduct the time that he cootered.
No, sir.
And he wouldn't, no, sir, it's against his principles, you see, for anybody to pay him for the time that he cootered.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I was up north there, I used to do most all of the work by... contract, see, and then if I figured if I done it by contract, if I wanted to stop and talk to somebody, well, then that was mine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't charging for it, see.
You know, let me tell you, I believe, Mr. Eastman, I believe I can make this pump act up now.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, it did yesterday afternoon.
That includes $80. And that includes the... No, he didn't charge anything for this one. That's why I got a little extra on it. That includes... some of it. It doesn't include the door. either one of the doors or the gab off the pipes.
Mm-hmm.
But it is adapter nut and a nipple and stove pipes and then flat eyes. And then the
the time that he put in.
Well, he's put the
he's
hours.
He's got his hours heavy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he 4 hours labor on January 17th. One day he worked 7 hours and he did 4.5 hours on one day.
Yeah.
And 4 hours, most of the time it's 3.5 hours.
Mm-hmm. Some mornings
and 6 hours. One day he worked 6 hours and one day he worked 7 and the other was just 4. He just worked 4 hours. And he didn't for the time he took off and stuff. And he put in the doors and he put in the he made that pipe and he put in this thing and he's put in the stove and I expect it costs $150 in town at least.
Well, I imagine that man's gonna charge $100 for it.
He was going to charge $100 for the stove, and then you stop charge $100 to put it in.
Put it in?
Because mm-hmm. no matter what you paid for the stove, you still had to build mm-hmm. that pipe outside.
Mm-hmm. I know it. That's what I know. Well, I expect he's pretty round. He can do all
good
many things.
Sure, good thing to have.
Now, that's the end of this fine little session with Mr. Eastman this Saturday morning, the 24th of January, 1970. About 1,035 on this half mil tape. 1,035 on this half mil tape. There's 700 left now for Buster when he comes.
Two truckloads.
Yes.
I had buku oranges.
Well, how'd you rate all that?
Well, I'll tell you. That's kind of a military secret. Don't put your glasses on. I ain't going to draw you no diagram of how I did it. Put your glasses on like I thought I was going to draw a diagram of how this operation come about. I just can't do it. Let's put it this way.
No, I have to go down by.
Let's put it this way. I know you do. I do too here lately. But at that particular time, I backed this truck under a tall tree, old seedling tree. You know, they're taller than these trees they have now because I cut them back.
Yeah.
And I raced the motor a couple of times, and the vibration just shook them off and they come down the truck. Well, I couldn't help it. I just had to be turned around in the road at that time. Now, see, I couldn't help that.
No.
And the man said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm not doing anything.
Yeah.
I'm fixing the door if you don't mind."
Yeah.
He said, "You gonna carry those oranges with you?" I said, "No, you can take them out. You got to think about what a big job you're taking out of, you know." He said, "Well." He said, "Who does it belong to?" I said, "I don't know." He said, "This is my grove." I said, "Can you prove it?" And he said, "No, I can't." He didn't have no deeds with him, did he? No, I tell you, I got them old oranges from old Jim. Old Jim Main, you know?
Yeah.
See, he was working out the packing house at that time, and they was cubs.
Yeah.
At least they looked like cubs. But they wasn't. Boy, those were good arms. I'm telling you, they were really good. I'm telling you, they was all right.
Well, now, let me tell you, that's what I tried.
Boy, I guess I did it.
Yeah.
That's what I tried to get off of Jim, several times, and he is very sensitive about that.
Well, here lately, he's kind of afraid of his job, I think.
Well,
they might.
You see, I didn't want them first class oranges. I just wanted some oranges.
Did you know that you know what difference between a curl and a first rate orange? Maybe just
taste.
One. Maybe no. The taste had nothing to do with it whatsoever.
Yeah.
Maybe. In the process of putting those oranges in the truck
yeah.
or in the box, they might get bruised on the side and have one little speck of black stuff on them.
Yeah.
Or maybe one little soft place where they hit the body, you know.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's deformed just a little bit. Sometimes it's deformed, you know. Maybe it's not completely round, you know. Or maybe the top of it is just a little bit soft. Well, they
yeah.
curl that orange, just like they do cukes. You take cukes, the kind they sell up the country, they're perfect. Every one of them is uniform in size.
Yes.
And these oranges, I mean those cukes, that they don't send, usually is rough and bumpy.
Yeah.
And whenever you find a rough and bumpy cucumber, you got the best cucumber.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that?
Is that right?
Yes, sirree. My wife always picks out a rough cucumber. One that's got little bumps on it, you know? Look like it's...
Mm-hmm.
Sprinkle salt on it. That's the best cucumber.
Well, where did she learn about that, Buster?
From experience. Well, her dad used to farm, see?
Oh, yes.
And
that's right, yes.
And she used to work down there in oranges too, you know.
Oh, did she? Well, she'd pick up a lot.
Yeah,
working at them.
That's right.
Well, now that's what I tried to get. To
but you, this year, I haven't got any oranges at all, hardly. Old Jim that day when I worked on his car, you know, his truck.
Mm-hmm.
I told him I'd gonna come down and get some. He said, "Well, you got to come down there at the right times when the man's not there." Well, I don't want to do that kind of business. I don't want to be hiding around to do what I got to do. You know what I mean?
Yes.
That day a woman says, "Buster, are you on a little drink?" I said, "Well, I'm not in the habit of being a habitual drunkard, but I said I will take a little snort once in a while on a cold day." She said, "Oh man, I ain't looking to come back here with him." And I said, "Well, I don't want it that way." That ain't no joke either. I said, "I'm not going to be hiding back there." And I said, "The old man looked back there and see me and wonder what I'm doing."
Yes.
I said, "He kind of gets the wrong impression. He kind of think I'm getting the snort, man." Sure enough. Well, that's, you know what I mean. If I stuck around and get a few oranges, I'd rather not have them at all. I'd rather just go down here to Boardman and pay $2 a bushel and get all of them on. I bet you can get them cheaper than that if you go down there and start, you know, getting a few once in a while.
Yeah, but look what you get down there. You get old sour things.
You do.
I've got down there and brought them back up here and it made my teeth sharp.
You would. You mean down at Arctic where they advertise?
Yeah.
For $2 a bushel?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I get better oranges than that for less than that. Let me tell you what I done. Now, this is just lucky. You know Jake Glisson? His mama lives over at Cross Creek, Ms.
Mm-hmm.
Glisson. I didn't know it, but she got a good-sized little grove around her house there. I didn't know it till we drove by there one day, and there's a little sign, you know, just leaning up against the bottom doorstep, says oranges. Well, you know what that means, sell oranges. We stopped there and went out there, and she had those Parson Browns, and they were just first rate. They got seeds in them, but I don't mind seeds. You see, I got this thing here.
Yeah.
And we went out there, and she went out there with us, and she even showed us the best places, you see. And if we got into a tree, she didn't think it was very good, she says, "You ought to try this." And she didn't do the work, but we picked them. And, we got 4 or 5 sackfuls at $1.50. At $1.50.
A bushel.
Yeah.
And they was good, you see? And sweet.
Well, she knew what trees is best.
Yeah. Now, she's been working with oranges ever since she come down from Georgia, you see, way back in 1970.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I got off some of the best oranges yesterday I've ever seen in my life. Right up in Gamble. Those oranges last week, I got some. They had some small navel, and they had some big, large navel.
Yeah.
The small navels were 50 cents a dozen. The large ones were 85.
Yeah.
And it was actually worth it because of the size of those big ones, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I bought, let's see, 2 dozen small ones, which was a dollar for the 2 dozen, you know. And yes, they went back and the stocks run a little bit low on them old big ones, you know. And I guess they want to get rid of them because I guess they figure if they keep them too long, you know, they go to bad, which they will. And that girl, I asked, I said, how much are the big ones? I said, there's no sign on there. She said, why, you can have them for 50 cents a dozen. And I bought 2 dozen of them. And I mean, them old navels, they're that big around.
You always sort of look out on that fruit, then.
Yeah, I've always been lucky with that. I sure have.
I never do. Now,
and
another
I mean,
time,
they're good, too.
Another time over there, Bus, you had all them vegetables. You had your truck half full of
turnips. Then next day I had cabbage.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, how do you don't go out there and shake the tree for them?
No. I'll tell you what you got to do.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes an old wild hog getting the cabbage patch.
Yeah.
And he gets so excited, you know, he's rooting and throwing them things up in the air. And I'm riding along with the truck, and they're jumping in the truck. He's throwing them up in the air.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
He's thinking about catching them when they come down and eating them, you know. But when they throw them up in the air with his mouth, you know,
yeah.
I'm riding on it, jumping in the truck. You know, you brought me in here to give me something. And instead of that, he's priming me for information, isn't he?
Yeah.
No, I'll tell you how I got them.
I can't get information over there at your place, you see, because somebody's always interrupting.
Yeah.
By the time we get started, you know, somebody comes up and wants to
Well, I'll tell you, I know a lot of these farmers, you know, that farm in kind of a big way.
Oh, yeah.
Those people do. And they had turnips, I don't mean they had them by just a few rows, they had them by acres.
Mm-hmm.
And they were selling these seminars, you know, that come in from the country, you know?
Yeah.
And they refrigerated, you know, and they'd bunch those things up, and man, they'd sell 4,000 or 5,000 bunches of them to one semi.
Yeah.
And cabbage the same way, you know. They'd sell those cabbage, maybe they'd sell 8 or 10 truckload of cabbage to one man, you know.
Yeah.
And, whenever the things kind of short, you know, the crop, they just quit picking.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all those cabbage I had on that truck that day,
Why,
they could have took those things, put them on a truck and sold them.
Sure.
High cabbage, you know, they didn't. They just let that field go to the bad. And I mean, they had plenty of them.
Well, when the price goes down.
When the price goes down, see?
Yeah.
And squashes them, they...
Yeah. It's not worth having.
No, they figure it costs too much to go out there and pick this stuff, you know, then they'll get out of it.
They just lose money.
I think they'd make money if they actually went out there and picked those things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now,
you
don't run into anything that like that around here. How far off do you have to go?
Well, this is out of Ocala.
The other side?
West of Ocala.
Oh, west of Ocala.
And I'll tell you, most of that stuff, I didn't sell it.
Yeah.
I just give it away.
Yeah, I didn't. You didn't get anything out of me.
No, well, I tell you, a lot of people. Well, I added to the bill next time I worked on your car, and you didn't know it.
Well, I'd rather.
See what I mean? He don't understand all this stuff, does he? See, when I worked on your car, the next time you brought it over there, I just add a little more to it to make a little vegetables I'd give you.
That's where I like to pay my bill.
Blind. I do too.
I don't like to know what I'm.
What you're buying, now what you're getting
everything.
For your money. Well, I've been that way all my life.
Yes, well,
I'll tell you something else. I had a little truck load of watermelons one time.
Yeah.
I got down that Macintosh, you know.
Yeah.
And them old boys must have making up, you know, was handling them at that time. They had a bunch of curls. And like I say, maybe they had a little soft end on them, you know, or a bruise place on them. And I had a whole pickup load. And I went up there and give 2 or 3 of them away, and somebody in town called the old sheriff and said, he's up there selling watermelons, and ain't got no license.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's been about 3 years ago.
Yeah. And they called the sheriff.
Yeah.
Well, you know all the deputies, so they couldn't get you to take you that far.
I think them stores around there, I think I bet Myers' store was going to get it if they're red and white.
No.
Oh, you mean right there in Micanopy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right there making up it. Out in front of the garage there, you know.
That's right, your own garage.
Yeah, and people come by there at tradeswomen, I'd give them watermelon, you know. And they'd carry them off right and left, you know. And these people up there says, hey, I'm trying to sell watermelon, that damn fool down there, give them away.
Yeah, so they call the sheriff.
And says, no, I think he's selling them, somebody said.
Yeah.
So, well, we'll find out about it. So they called the sheriff. And they had no sheriff at making up at that time. He's the one that run off with that girl there, you remember? Old everybody in town, great big old guy, had a brand new Ford, you know.
Yeah.
And the Ford people come, took the Ford, he went up and bought a brand new plumber. Boy, he was a cat, that guy was. He come down and says, I understand you're selling watermelons. I said, who said so? He says, well, it was reported that you were selling them. I said, well, I just got a report over my telephone that I wasn't selling them. I said, who said that? And you know, he never would tell me.
Yeah, we'll tell you.
And I said, well, I says, if you're not going to tell me who said it, I said, I can't afford to tell you if I'm selling them now. I said, I'm not, though. He said, what are you doing? Giving them away? I said, yeah, mine. I can give them away if I want to. And I did.
And if I could think quick.
He come back there later on and said, well, how about giving me two or three? I said, I ain't going to give you nothing. I said, I ain't going to give you nothing. He said, you must be selling them. I said, no, I'm just giving them a friend. But I said, you ain't no friend.
You didn't say that.
Yes, I did, too.
Buster, you did not.
I most certainly did.
All you're doing is saying, telling me what you would like to have said.
No, I didn't. I told him that, because I knew him, see, very well.
Yeah.
I hold up my right hand.
So it's, you all just cussed each other right to your face.
Yeah. And I told him, I said, no, I'm just giving him a friend. I said, you ain't no friend. I said, you don't tell me who it is.
Yeah.
And later on, I asked him again, and he still... He said, I'll tell you before I leave here, but he never did tell me.
Yeah.
He never did tell me.
He's so used to all that skull right.
Oh, yeah. Sure he is.
He don't keep it on his mind.
No.
Well, you all actually did. You all got along all right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We always joined back at each other, you know. Saying.
Well, you see, I take things literally. Sure.
Guy, would you check Mother's heater if something's happened to it, and then she's just about to flee? I don't know. Just look at it.
Okay. We was always saying something to each other, you know.
Oh. Well, I tell you, it's hard to believe, though, Buster, that this place around here was once just filled with vegetables.
It was.
Uh-huh.
Whenever I was a kid, about 9 or 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
My daddy had 2 brand new Model T trucks.
Mm-hmm.
And those sales were just as big as they could be all spring.
Mm-hmm.
Canned vegetables to the farmers'
mm-hmm.
fields,
mm-hmm.
to those depots.
Mm-hmm.
See, back then they didn't haul them by truck, they hauled them by rail, you know.
Yeah.
And that little place down there making up where that church is,
yeah.
It had a big platform out there.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen that thing stacked as far into that fence over there with beans.
Now, wait a minute. Now, where was it?
Well, one place down there where that church is, Church of God, you know.
Oh.
Church of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they had another place down there by Denton Siding. Of course, you don't know where that is.
No.
It's on the other side of, just exactly on the other side of Tuscarora.
Oh, yeah.
They had a packing house there.
I didn't realize
it. It wasn't a packing house, it was just a shed.
Yeah.
They didn't